we could turn in our Bibles from to the book of James, chapter 3. I'm going to begin with verse 1. The book of James, chapter 3. Tame the tongue. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. We all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse the people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Let's say our scripture declaration together. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice.
Today, we are actually closing out and finishing our Better Together sermon series. And so I'm going to be talking today a little bit about some of the things that I didn't have a chance to get to last week, and then adding in just a little bit as well. And I'm going to be talking about communication and how we connect with one another and how important that is. And that is found there in James chapter 3. So I just want to begin with the title of today's message, Communicate to Connect, which is what I spoke about last week and am speaking about again this week. Now, next week will be a special Mother's Day message, but as we end our Better Together series, just let me remind you that the whole concept comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, where it says that two are better than one, because ultimately we are not called to go through life by ourselves. So whether it's friendships or relationships with our children, our extended family, or a spouse relationship, all of our relationships are things that God has deemed to be good. He has said in his word that it is not good for man to be alone, and that's not man, that is mankind. It is not good for us to go through our lives by ourselves. And so as we realize this, I want to talk a little bit about some things that we're sharing in the idea of how we can maybe knock down some of the conflict that tends to build walls between us. The truth of the matter is that in many of our relationships, if we have a difficult time, if we really struggle, it can damage a relationship and never get back to where it was when certain words and things are spoken. Now, let me ask you guys, have you seen that, or have you even seen it really close in your family? Somebody said something and it never, ever gets back to where it was before. That happens. And so we, especially as Christians, have to be very, very careful that whenever we open our mouths, we're speaking life and not speaking destruction. So in James chapter 3, we see this, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that in just a moment. But let's begin with this book called Super Communicators by a guy by the name of Charles Duhigg. He wrote a bestseller a number of years back called The Power of Habit. It is literally one of the best books I've ever written. I almost said written, and that would have been awesome. New York Times bestseller many times over. Was not me, definitely not me. But listen to what he says. Whether we call it love or friendship or simply having a great conversation, achieving what? Connection. Authentic, meaningful communication is the most important thing in life. That's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? And so we see when, you know, King Solomon says that we are better together. How can two, you know, not be better than one because of the difficulties that we can overcome together? And then we see this man, a New York Times best-selling author, but not a Christian author by any stretch of the imagination. He's saying that authentic, meaningful communication and achieving connection is the most important thing in life. It reminds us how powerful it is, the words that we speak and the way that we find ourselves connecting. It is a powerful thing. But did you hear what Paul read from James chapter 3? That's the other side of the coin, isn't it? So we know how important it is. We know how powerful it can be. All of us have had one of those conversations where we just seem to feel like we're connecting on a whole different level and the energy that it gives us. But then we've also had the experience where something is said or somehow there's some sort of wall that builds up and we do not make that connection and even go to the point of damaging one another in conflict. And we know that that can be incredibly powerful and lasting. Let's talk about the danger of the tongue according to James chapter 3 so we can see the good and the bad. And so as you look at this passage of scripture in James chapter 3, the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining what? The whole body. That doesn't even make sense, does it? This little bitty thing, this little bitty mouth can absolutely stain the whole person. And what is it saying here? Setting on fire the entire course of life and set on fire by hell. And then it says, every kind of beast and bird, of reptile, sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But then can we read this last verse out loud together? But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. That's powerful. We've got to be very, very careful with the words that we use. And so as we look at the two sides, the ability to connect and yet the ability to damage, what we have to say is, Lord, please step in, and where I can be doing so much damage, please prevent that from happening. So let's talk about four keys to communication. And if this looks familiar, last week it was three keys to communication. This week it's four, okay? Because I'm kind of expanding. I didn't get to some of them. So we talked about keeping the main thing, and never, ever letting that go no matter what happens. In other words, never forget that whenever you do damage in your relationship, simply to win an argument, you have lost the point of the main thing being the main thing. The main thing is that relationships should draw you together, not damage you as you grow closer together. And so we've got to be very careful that we never lose sight that the main thing is that connection that we are looking for. And then we seek first to understand and then to be understood. Because for many of us, in that process of trying to win the argument, they're not listening to me. They're not hearing me. They just don't understand. They don't get me. And as you say these kinds of words, it should be a bell going off in your head to remind you that ultimately we are supposed to seek first to understand somebody and then to understand, to be understood by ourselves. And we talked a little bit about this last week from James chapter 1, where it says, let every man be swift to hear and then slow to what? Speak. And slow to become angry, because man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. So here is our big idea, same as last week. Once again, it's up here on the screen. Communicate to connect first before moving on to any other agenda that you may have. So before you begin to defend yourself when you feel attacked, before you begin to download what you think you need to give to your kids or to your spouse to have them do, before you begin to discipline your children in any way, do all that you can to connect with them first, and then you move on to those agendas. Don't just simply rush in to do these other things. Can we say together this big idea out loud on the count of three? Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Communicate to connect first before moving to any other agenda that you may have. All right, so very good. I appreciate it. These are some of the places that we've already been. Let's talk a little bit more about the power of the tongue as we go to this next slide. And here, as we see it, it says, if we put bits into the mouth of horses and they obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Look at ships also. Though they are so large, they're driven by strong winds. They're guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. And then I want you to notice this last verse here, or this last part of the verse. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Now, I don't know, how many of you guys in here have ever had this experience? I think it's probably not just me. And by the way, I try to keep it very, very real. I try to make sure that you know that the pastor's house is just like every other house, that it is not a place where only prayers are offered. You know, like we don't just sit around and meditate and pray all the time. There has been an argument or two happen in the walls of my house, right, this week. So anyway, I'm just saying, now, as we see here, how great a forest, Shelly's like, we didn't do any such thing this week. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. How many of you have had this experience where you have a conversation and you're starting to have this conversation and you go back and forth, and as you go back and forth, it feels like you're kind of moving towards frustration and anger, but you can't figure out why. And like nobody said anything wrong yet, but then you start looking around and you're like, why am I getting so angry? And then you turn around just like a minute later, and you are in a full-blown fight, and you have no idea, A, what you're fighting about, or B, how you got there. Now, all right, how many of you know that there are people out there who have had this happen to them before? Can I get an amen? Yeah, not us, not us Christian people, but there are people, you know, we're praying for them, right? So, what it's saying here is it's incredible how our words can take it from being a peaceful thing, a thing that we don't intend to be anything that makes anyone frustrated, angry, or aggravated. And then we say one thing wrong that we don't even know is wrong, or maybe we do a little bit, but that shouldn't be that big of a deal, so we throw it out there, and then suddenly the forest fire is ablaze, right? And you're like looking around going, what have I done, right? And how did I do it? So this is the power of the tongue, and this is why James speaks about it so clearly and so plainly to all of us, that if we're not careful, the things that we don't want to happen in our relationships start happening, and they start happening over and over. And until we even actually get a grab on them and get a hold of them and see, okay, now this is why, and this is what happened, and these are the ways to change and avoid that, Listen, again, I'm going to be real honest with you. Shelly knows I'm going to be honest with you guys from this pulpit. Y'all don't need to be praying for our marriage, but it's always a good thing anytime I'm speaking about relationships. So here's the question. I have asked Shelly, is like, well, why are you mad? And she's like, well, you said this. And I'm like, I didn't mean it that way. And she's like, well, you had to have. And I'm like, no, I promise I didn't mean it that way. And then that whole conversation has happened in reverse as well. She's like, why are you possibly mad at me? I'm like, well, you don't pretend you don't know. I mean, come on. You know, it's very clear and obvious. Any thinking man or intelligent individual would understand what you've done. And she's like, I have no idea what you're talking about right now. Because we always see it from our own perspective, don't we? And we say something, we don't mean it, but it's a forest fire that blazes up. So as we grasp this, we have to understand, we got to be very careful that we're getting on the same page as often as we can. Now, here's what I've seen in my position as a pastor. There can be a really, really good relationship happening, let's say 85% of the time in your marriage, but you can destroy your marriage with the 15% when you can't seem to get on the same page and when conflict becomes absolute combat. I'm going to say that again. If you're not very careful, your conflict can turn into combat, and it can sabotage a good or very good relationship because you just can't seem to find away on the same page. Would you guys agree with that? Can I get an amen? All right, a few of you guys are with me. All right, so we're the ones that are going to talk about it. The rest of us can just listen. All right, so here we go. Here's what I've figured out. Sometimes one of the aggravations is Shelly's having a conversation with me that she thinks I'm on the same page with her and I'm still clueless, which happens often, to be honest with you. Let's go to this. This is what they found in the Super Communicators book. As you go to this next slide, please. This three types of conversation. You can have a practical conversation. That's about facts and plans. Or you can have an emotional conversation. That's communication about feelings. And then you can also have a who are we conversation. That's like my values and my vision, right? And so this is important. How many of you have ever had a practical conversation when somebody gets emotional and like you can't figure out why you're missing each other? In other words, for example, this is a great example. When you're sitting there talking about something that happened at work today, and your intention is just to kind of vent and download and decompress, and then that person that you're venting, downloading, and decompressing to starts giving you all of the reasons that it could have happened and all the reasons that it didn't have to happen, and maybe even all the reasons that you might have been involved in causing the problem in the first place, and you're looking around going, we're about to get in a fight here, and all I wanted to do was tell you what happened in my day. Now, some of y'all are laughing. Some of y'all know exactly, especially some of the older folks that have been together for a little longer. Y'all are like, oh yeah, we've been there. We've done that. How is that happening? Here's why. Because you're having an emotional conversation, and they're giving you tips and tricks and hints on how to solve it practically. And you're on one page, she's on another, and the whole point of not getting frustrated can't match up because you're not on the same page in the first place. If you guys understand, give me an amen. Okay, so here's how this helps you. Here's how this helps you. We're gonna get to it in just a moment, something that I learned from Peter Robinson as he spoke about it. We'll talk about how we can do better. But here's what we see. I was having an emotional conversation. I wanted my wife to understand how I felt. She was having a practical conversation, and because of that different conversation, we couldn't hear one another or connect. Here's the really dangerous part. This is where Satan jumps in, and he says, they don't get you. They don't understand you. That relationship that you thought was so good, that's not really a good relationship, because you know the truth is you shouldn't have to always explain everything about yourself. They don't understand you. Are you sure they're the one? You see what I'm saying? And then you talk about it with your kids. Haven't we already covered this? What's the problem here? Why are my kids not living up to what they already know how to, you know? And all of these times that we're not on the same page, we start questioning our relationships instead of feeding them in the better way. And when we don't do those things that we know actually bring life, and we begin in our own mind to hear that small voice tearing us down and destroying the important things in our life, just know that that is not what God wants. But if we're not careful, that's how it happens, and we can give into that and be very dangerous with the things that we do. So let's talk about this very quickly. Four keys to communication. Let's go to that third one. State your intent and your intensity. And this is the one that I learned from Peter. Peter, you know you've taught about this in our lean classes that we've hosted here. But you state your intent and your intensity. In other words, you say to your spouse, hey, listen, before you give me another piece of advice, I just want to let you know all I'm trying to do is just get some things off my chest. I'm just trying to vent a little bit. And then you know what's great is when you know that, you're like, oh, so all I got to do is just sit here, be interested, and shake my head a few times, and at the appropriate times go, you know, like really get in there with them, right? And so when you do that, you're winning. But until you get on the same page, there's no way to win. It's important for us. So if I tell Shelly, hey, listen, I want some practical advice. I know it might hurt, but can you give me some advice? And she gives me advice, then we're on the same page. But if I'm not in that mindset, it can be words that are the start to a fight, all because She's having a practical conversation, I'm having an emotional one, or vice versa, and we miss it. Now, this who we are conversation is incredibly important, and this is why most of us don't get to this point. We don't talk much about our values and the things that we truly believe and the visions that we have for our life, because that is where things get really vulnerable really fast. You guys have all heard, don't talk about religion, don't talk about politics, right? And so that kind of thing right there is a perfect example. It's the part of your who you are conversation, your deep-held beliefs, those visions that you have for your family, for yourself, for your life, and on like that. And so those are really difficult conversations to have and avoid conflict. So be very careful and make sure that when you're together that you're both on that same page. Now, here's the state your intent. We've got the intent part. Here's the intensity part. Well, let's go to our next slide here. And this is, again, verbiage from Peter that had spoken way back. This is, works in your business as well as your relationships. So you say, listen, I got something to talk about. And so you tell them, this is my intention, and this is my intensity on this intention. In other words, hey, I got something that's just kind of bothered me a little bit. I just want to mention it so maybe we could just kind of nip it in the bud and move on. And they're like, okay, well, that's your intent. You just want to talk about this real quickly. What's your intensity? And you're like, well, it's probably just a little bigger than a pebble, but it's probably just a rock, not much more. And suddenly you're like, okay, I get it. Now, you guys understand this. It's just a pebble, or it's a rock about the size of your hand. Or it's a big rock, you know, maybe one about the size of holding it like this. Or it is a boulder that you can barely move. You might be able to move it, but probably not. Or this is a hill I will die on. You guys with me? We all have these. We all have hills we can die on. The more hills you have to die on, the sooner you're going to die. I'm just saying, okay, but if you can have less hills to die on, you're probably going to be better at your relationships. But there are a few things that are hills worth dying on, and I'm cool with that. But always make sure that you say, listen, we had a blow up the other day, and so I want to talk about this. And can I do it in reverse? Hey, one of my daughters, Tori, you're here. I'm not going to pick on you. It's Taryn or Tatum, right? So, hey, one of my other two daughters, right? We had a blow up the other day, and when that happened, I want you to know something. First of all, I'm going to connect. First of all, you are the most important thing in my life. Like, you are truly a blessing from God. And so, Taryn, Tatum, I want you to know that, first of all, I love you. Doesn't mean that we're always going to be on the same page. That's where we're at right now. Let's talk about it. Here's my intent. I want to apologize, and I want to prevent us from going back there. And then they say, well, you did this and you said that. And they're like, you know what? That's not important to me. That's a pebble. Let's just forget that that ever happened. If you can forget it, I'll ask for your forgiveness and we'll move on. Or they say, it's this thing. That's why we got all mad and that's why we started arguing. I'm like, look, I'm going to tell you something. That's a hill I got to die on. I cannot give that one away. That is incredibly important to me, and it is at the very core of who I am. So we're going to have to work through this, maybe in this conversation, maybe in multiples, but we have to get where we need to be, because this isn't something that I give up. This is a hill I die on. State your intent and your what? Intensity. You guys following along? If you're doing this, you can cease to have some of these meaningless frustrations and arguments that don't really matter. And if you can eliminate those, you start getting a little further down the line of where God would have you to be. And don't miss this. We talked already about this, but let's go to this. So much of the quality of a relationship is determined by the stories you tell ourselves. Make sure you're telling yourself the right one. When you hear that voice saying, they're not the one, say, no, they are the one because they're my wife. They're my husband. They are the one because these are the kids that God gave me. And you know what? Most of the time, we don't want to admit it as parents, but what we don't see in our kids is something that's not there because we haven't taken the time to make sure that it is there. And so we are the ones responsible, and yet we hold them to be at account oftentimes. And so we got to be very careful about the stories that we tell ourselves. Oh, I got so much that I want to share with you, but I want to keep moving here. Let's keep going to this crucial conversation. And if you're on the growth text, you'll recognize this. In a section entitled Emotions Don't Just Happen, the authors of Crucial Conversations say they're going to make two big claims. Here's claim number one. Emotions don't just settle upon you like a fog. They aren't forced upon you by others, no matter how uncomfortable it makes you to feel when you say it. Others do not make you mad. You make you mad. And then they keep going here, and they say this. You make yourself scared, annoyed, or insulted. You and only you create your emotions. We're going to talk deeply about this in just a moment. Claim number two, once you've created upset emotions, you only have two options. You either act upon them, or you can be acted upon by them. That is, when it comes to strong emotions, you'll find a way to master them, or they will be something that masters you. You'll fall hostage to them. So, let me remind you, you are the one who is in charge of your emotions, not anyone else. Okay, now, all right, let's keep moving and let's talk about something as a pattern of action. How many of you teenagers and young people understand the concept of on site? It's on site, it is on site. How many of y'all know? Okay, all right, so I'm seeing a couple of smiles. All right, a few of y'all. Teenagers are like, I'm smiling because I know it, but I'm barely raising my hand because I don't want to be seen. Okay, what it means, older people along with me, is, hey, something has got me so frustrated that the minute that I see you, we're going to fight. It is on site. That's what on site means, okay? Y'all with me? So it's on site. That means just say the word and it's on. Like, that's it. Okay, so here is the point. This is the diagram for on-site. You see or hear something, it gives you a certain feeling, and the action and behavior comes because it's on-site. It might not be physical, but it's verbally on-site. You say that, then you know I'm coming with this, period. There's no option. There's no in-between. But let me ask you this. Is it possible that you can do more than be on-site? Verbally and emotionally? Is it possible that you can see or hear something, catch feelings on something, and then turn around and instead of immediately going right to the action, that you actually have one other step in there? Is that possible? Let's go to this next slide. If it is, it would be right there. You see or hear it, you get the feelings, you get frustrated, you get angry, you're ready to respond, you're ready to lash out. Then, before the action and behavior, there's one third section there. Is that possible? Can I just say something? In this next slide, you'll see this. If you only think that you have three without that fourth thing, then you will never have victory in your life. You will always be at the whim of whatever somebody happens to say that hits you wrong because then they said the wrong thing and so, boom, off I go. If you can say, no, there's at least one more section in there, there's that one more section, you can be a victor instead of a what? Victim. So let's go to this. What is that? You tell yourself a story in the middle. You probably don't realize it, but you do. In other words, what does it mean to tell yourself a story? I don't know if you guys realize the power of the mind. The power of the mind is absolutely phenomenal and incredible and so amazing that even right now, with just a short little breath in between what I'm saying, you can go, did I start the oven for lunch or not? And you'll be able to stay right with me because your mind can fly and zoom at the speed of light and then come back and not miss a beat, but you've already gone and visited another place. How many of y'all know that's true, right? That's true. So here's what's happening. Whenever you catch feelings, whenever you're frustrated, whenever you're angry, and immediately you want to jump up and say, you have said the wrong thing, and so now I respond in this way, and it's not even my fault because you said the wrong thing. If that is where you are, congratulations, you'll always stay a victim. If you can tell yourself a different story, if you can tell yourself a different story where you're no longer a victim and where the person who hurt you is not necessarily an absolute villain for what they just said, you can begin to have an actual grown-up conversation in the midst of it. Here's what I mean. You tell yourself a story. That's why you know that certain things are on site verbally. In other words, let's talk about this very quickly. And can I just say something? This is where it's going to hurt. This is where it's going to hurt a little bit. But this is where the healing can begin. Let's go to our next slide. Split-second stories we tell ourselves when we feel hurt. They only did that because they dislike me. They're only saying that because they're trying to deceive me, because they're trying to hurt me, because they're trying to control me. And I won't let it happen, so here's how I act. See where I'm going? They aren't telling the truth because, and then you fill in the blank that is according to your belief. It's the story that you're telling yourself. Let's keep going. Some other split-second stories we tell in that brief moment. They treat me like this because they don't think I'm smart. They treat me like this because they don't think I'm capable. They never admit that they're wrong when they're wrong all the time. So why should I admit that I am wrong? You see what I'm saying? These are the stories that you tell yourself in the moment. You hit those feelings, and then just before the action, you tell yourself a story. That's why when your boss says something to you and you need your job really, really bad, you hate it, but you bite your tongue because you know you can't give up your job. You tell yourself, you don't need to get fired. You don't need to get fired over this. But then you go home and you talk to your kids and they say something that pushes those same exact buttons and you don't control it because after all, you're the parent and they should know better and they need to respect me. And so the action comes, it's on site. Okay, now you guys know how this goes. I always ask for the amen. I know this is not the good time for y'all to be feeling like, you know what, this is great, I'm enjoying this. I know this is hard. But this is where you shift from being a victim to somebody else's responses to you, and you can find victory. But this is incredibly hard, and it can't most of the time be done without God. Now, I've always said, if you guys give me an amen, I keep going. If not, I go back. So I have a feeling I need to warn you, especially with this one. Are you guys with me? Y'all with me? Can I get an amen? So it's hard, right? You can see why I'm saying it's hard. But this is where victory can be found. And this is why it's so incredibly important that we realize that we deceive ourselves. Our feelings lie to us. The first victory that we will ever find is finding the victory over a feeling being the thing that dictates our life. And if we can find that, there is hope. So let's keep moving to this next slide, that four keys to communication. You tell your story that is accurate, not a half-truth, not something that just simply makes you feel good in the moment. You see, here's the problem, that telling yourself a story, when you are the victim and they are the villain, then you never have to what? Change. If you are always the victim and they are always the villain, you never have to change. But I tell you what else won't change? That relationship that is sinking like a stone. It will never change either. Because you keep telling yourself the same story, so you keep reacting in the same way, and then they keep reacting in the same way, and it's a terrible downward spiral that neither one of you can figure out how it happens, neither one of you can figure out how to change it, neither one of you want it, but it's still happening, and it never gets better. This is a lot. This is hard. But this is incredibly important. Now, here is why. Let's go to our next slide. Seth Godin talks about this in just a moment. But here it is. In the internal stories you tell yourself, constantly cast yourself as a victim and others as villains, you will likely live at odds and with distance with other people in most areas of your life. Be careful. When it makes you feel good in your mind that it's all their fault and you couldn't have done anything different to make it different, then you will probably like it in the moment and hate the life that brings about in that way. Let's keep going here. Seth Godin says, people don't believe what you tell them. They rarely believe what you show them. They often believe what their friends tell them, but they always believe what they tell themselves. That's why it's incredibly important that we tell ourselves something that is true, not something that makes us feel good in the moment. And just in case you're not sure, that passage of scripture that I didn't get to last week from James chapter 1 is right here to remind us. Here it is on this next slide. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. He looks at himself. He goes away, and what does he do? He forgets what he or she looks like. The one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and perseveres, being not a hearer only, but forgets and instead does what he says he's supposed to do, he's going to be blessed when he does those things. This is incredibly important. This is telling us, God's word is telling us, you don't want to face what actually will bring you healing. You don't want to face the truth about self that is hard to accept and yet will change the pattern in the course of your life. And can I just say, this happens in married couples. This happens in kids. This happens with adults who are children of, you know, extended family members, on and on and on down the line. You tell yourself the same story over and over and over and over again, and the relationship never changes. This is exactly why. But if you say, I'm going to start telling myself a different story, and I'm going to realize that there are times where I might be a victim, but I'm probably not the only one who sees themselves. And I might think of them as a villain, but they're probably actually just people like me who sometimes want to connect and have a hard time doing it. They're telling themselves a lie that they shouldn't believe, and I'm doing the same exact thing. So if I can turn down the heat, and if I can step back a little and give you credit for being a person that I actually love, forgiveness can begin to flow. Are you guys with me? Can I get an amen? All right, let's go to our next slide, and I'm just about finished. I'm just about finished. Thank you so much for your time and for your attention. In a close relationship, is your silence being perceived as hostility? Because when you withdraw and move back, that's what it feels like to the other person. You can't go without speaking to your children for long periods of time without them thinking, you know what? Dad hates me. He can't even bring himself to say something to me. He hates me. She hates me, etc. Do you tend to consistently be in a positive or a negative mentality? And then thirdly, is your default to understand the other person or to have your view understood? I told y'all last week, and I'm going to tell y'all again, that's my problem. That's my biggest problem right there, that third one, because I feel like if I could just explain it, then we're going to be on the same page, and that's not always true. That's not always true. Let's go to our next slide here. Here's how we apply this message. What do your words say about you? Are you making people's situations damage relationships happening all the time? Well, I encourage you, make it a goal to say at least one kind thing each day to your important relationships, and start now. Start now. Not later, not this week or whatever. Just start today. And then clarify your main thing in one of your struggling relationships. In other words, remind them, you are the most important thing to me. I want to connect with you. Why? Not because it's easy, but because it's incredibly important. If I'm failing at this relationship, I'm failing. So I don't want that. Maybe you need to apologize. Maybe you need to move on. Maybe you need to write a note or spend some quality time. I don't know what is changing for you or what needs to change, but here's what I know. Until you begin to open your mouth and communicate life, until you begin to communicate life, and take away the reckless words that pierce like a sword, and instead be the tongue of the wise that brings healing, as Proverbs says. If that is not happening, you have a chance to change every single relationship that you have and that you're struggling with. But it begins with kindness. Kindness and love coming out rather than hurt and pain. Heavenly Father, I know that this is a difficult thing to talk about. When we talk about conflict, we are dealing with difficult things. But here's what we know, Lord. You want better for us. You don't want us to live in a constant state of turmoil and frustration. You desire for us, your children, to be people who speak life into our world and into our relationships. And so here is what I ask, Lord, that every single one of us would realize that the clever stories that we tell ourselves, where we make others to be a villain and ourselves to be a victim, those make us feel good in the moment but don't bring healing. They don't bring connection. Lord, help us to be strong enough in our identity in Christ that we don't always have to be right. And Lord, even when we're convinced that we are, we're still big enough people through your Holy Spirit to apologize for our part in the difficulty. And so I just pray that you would make us and remake us in the image of God, who comes to those who need him. You know, you are the one who pursued us instead of letting us walk away. May we be those kind of people, the people who exemplify who you are and who you were. Dear Lord, help us to build our life on you in everything we say and do. And Lord, may our relationships be built upon you in the things that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.